Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay versus Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Griffin Door. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host here. With me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I am going to be in every episode, and I can't help but notice, Ben, I feel like we'll probably talk about this a lot, that you've got some new ink.
I got some new ink.
New ink on your arm.
I got the third tattoo.
Third tattoo.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It is like really starting to like be... kind of jarring almost, like, because it's happened in what feels like a relatively short span of time over the course of my life, you know, that I think just back in like 2022, 2023, I don't even remember what year it was that I got the first one.
Right.
You know, but now there's like three, a couple big ones. And it's funny because like, I remember like when I grew, my beard out for the first time and I could actually physically like see in my peripheral vision, I could like see my beard.
Yeah.
Like, did this happen when you grew your mustache?
Oh,
like,
I can see it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always, because I curl it up, it's always in my vision. Yeah.
Right. But you probably go like, you know, kind of like nose blind.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my brain has like filtered it out. Like, I don't really notice it. Like, I can perceive it if I want, but yeah.
Right. That's exactly how mine is as well. It's sort of, I know it's down there.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure that like it'll start to ease up like once I get more used to it. But like, even just like reaching down and like looking like in my peripherals and seeing ink on both arms now is pretty darn crazy. And it was basically where it ended up going was on my other forearm. So now like if I put my two forearms out forward and face like the underside back at myself, they're both like completely filled in the same way.
Right.
Which comically was like one of the things I was like determined to avoid doing.
Did not do.
Yeah. I was afraid that it would look like I had these like bracers on or something. Like it would almost be like too symmetrical.
Nah, I mean, like even like right now, you've got like both sleeves rolled up. You can just sort of see it on both sides. Like it just looks cool.
It's just vibes. Yeah. So that's good. But it was definitely like one of those things. And if you remember from the first one, that I got. Like I did both the first and the third ones were kind of like spiritual journeys, if you will, where the first one I was like super, super, super nervous about. I didn't have one before. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't have an idea at all.
Right.
I was basically just going and hoping that like my artist would be able to like take whatever it was out of my brain, mold it into a concept and deliver it to me, and it would be like exactly perfect.
Right.
And it was super stressful. Like I remember going in there and the original tattoo that I saw from this artist that I was like so interested in, for whatever reason, it wasn't like I specifically liked it because of this, but I just did like the initial piece that I found, which featured two lions.
Okay.
And Alice is like a Leo, and that was like a whole thing. And so I was like, oh, like maybe I'll get lions or whatever. Like, you know, it'll be like a cool like homage to her because she's like my Leo.
Yeah.
And Alice was like, do not do it. Do not do it. But then I go and I'm talking to the artist and I'm telling them all, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a people pleaser. And like, it's the thing I'm struggling with. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. And like, I kind of want to do lions, but then like also like Alice specifically told me not to do lions. And he's like, well, dude, you got to overcome that, man. If you want to do lions, let's do lions. And I was like, I see what you mean. Like you're hearing me and you're responding the way that I feel you're probably meant to respond.
Right.
Like I'm telling you I'm a people pleaser and that my wife doesn't want me to do something. And you're telling me to override those instincts and
follow, do it anyway, because you want lions.
And follow my heart. And I was like, yeah, but I can't. I mean, it is very important to me that she likes it.
Right, right. Do you think, is there any chance it was like a test where she was like, don't get lions? And then it was like, I hope he gets lions.
I hope he gets lions. Yeah. I don't know. Hilariously, I was just watching, which I think you've watched, the TV show on Netflix, You.
Oh my God. God, I love that show.
Yeah.
That is like me and Beth, it would be like, you know, we would never know. Netflix never they were so bad about telling you like when the release date is or whatever until like a week before, but it would just show up. You'd open Netflix and it'd be like, oh my gosh, drop everything. Doesn't matter what we're watching right now. We're watching You.
We're taking in some Penn Badgley.
Oh man. Yeah. He is such a good, charming serial killer.
He really is. Yeah. It's amazing how you're almost never rooting for him.
Yeah.
But like, you're still like, you watch the situations unfold. And in case you're unfamiliar with what You is, it's effectively a story about a guy who is like a stalker / serial killer, but because he is so like likable, it's like you can't help but enjoy being the fly on the wall and seeing how he's gonna like get out of all these ridiculous situations.
And I mean, like, it's like if you watched Gossip Girl but Dan like was super duper creepy and eventually killed Serena.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like he's like playing like the same character, but violent.
But so violent. But I mean, the same character down to like being super into books and writing and living in New York City and constantly getting entangled in the wealthiest people you can imagine's lives.
Yes.
Like it is so, like he is such perfect casting for it because it is like definitely capturing like that Gossip Girl vibe, but like cranked to the darkest like setting.
Yeah. It absolutely is. But I bring it up just simply because one of the big like things in one of the seasons is that his like new girlfriend or whatever that he's dating is like, I don't want to make a big deal out of my birthday. And all of her friends are like, dude, that's code. Like she's testing you. She wants you to make a huge deal out of her birthday. She's saying like, no, I don't care. But then she'll be so delighted when you do it anyway.
Right.
And then he does it anyway. And she's like, I told you I wanted a low key birthday. And he's like, dang it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's like one of those where I tend to think that Alice was not like, well, maybe I can't tell him to do it because then it's like for me and that would be like ridiculous. But like, also I kind of hope he does it.
Right.
I think if I came home with it, she would have been like, I told you, you had one job, which is not get a lion tattoo. And I feel like one of the things I've also, well, it doesn't matter. But so there was a lot of stress involved. And I remember the first time I went that like, I think that like my body, like literally like secreted like an endorphin. I don't know if you remember me saying this or not, but like I could like smell myself. Like it was almost like I was like letting out like this like stress enzyme that was like,
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was almost trying to like repel anything from the immediacy of my space. And then I was mortified because I was like, I can smell me, which means if I can smell me, other people can smell me.
Well, I mean, I'm positive that if you're in the line of giving people tattoos that like, I mean,
I think it's like an adrenaline rush, right?
It certainly is.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to make you sweat, you know, and you're going to be there for a long time and stuff,
I think that they are prepared for a degree of, like, you know, their canvas is the human body, and the human body is fundamentally imperfect and also responding to the very real stimuli in the room.
Right.
So yeah, there's no doubt about it. And he's a total professional. So, like, no issues, and it didn't really come up, and I even think it just passed or whatever. But so what was funny though was that I was going into this particular session, I knew what I wanted to get. But I was bound and determined. Like, I did the same thing when I was buying, like, a pair of, like, running shoes once upon a time. I really wanted a pair of, like, the On Cloud running shoes, and Alice was going to get them for me for my birthday. And so when I was walking into the store, like, one of the things I remember from our early cross country days is you don't get to pick the shoe off the rack. You, like, when it comes to running, you are not buying the thing that looks cool. You are buying the thing that is the appropriate shoe for your gait, your stride,
your arch, the width of your foot. Yeah, all sorts of different things.
Yeah, I mean, and there is a lot of science that goes into it, and you're putting a huge amount of pounding on your legs through running the extraordinary distances that we run, or that we did run. So it needs to be correct. But as an adult, I was like, I want to go pick my shoes. I want to pick them. This is a right, a privilege I want to grant myself to just pick my own shoes. And I was like, do not let me under any circumstances walk out of here with anything other than a pair of On Clouds. And we walked in, and immediately the guy was like, they're not the right shoe for your foot. You should look at these instead. And he was like, I promise you, if you put them on and you go in the parking lot and run back and forth one time, you will buy these shoes. And I was like, fine. And I put them on. I went into the parking lot, and it was like I took one step forward and was transported to, like, a meadow full of butterflies and,
right,
like, and blue, like, skies with
this is the best shoe I've ever felt.
Yes. And I was like, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it. And Alice is looking at me like I promised you I would not let you get anything else. And she knows I'm a people pleaser too. So she was like, I know you're just going to, like, try to, like, work with the salesman or whatever. And I was like, no, Allie, these are better shoes. Like, these are the right shoes. I need to get these shoes. So I didn't end up getting the On Clouds, but I do this, you know, like, I go in with a plan, and then the plan gets completely wrenched out of the field.
I like how this, you guys had such opposite. You guys are so opposite. Alice is like, don't get Lions. And you're like, I didn't get a Lion. And you're like, don't let me buy a different shoe, and you bought a different shoe.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah. It's like, you could see what's going on. Like, this is where I don't trust anything about human behavior sometimes, where I'm just like, none of us know what we want.
Right.
None of us are right.
Right.
So that was the big thing. I had like three key locations that I had zeroed in on for this particular tattoo. And it was either going to be on the outside of my right arm, so sort of like the exterior forearm.
Right. Yeah.
Or I was going to do the exterior forearm of my left arm. So it would almost be like I had this, like, whole sleeve.
Like, sleeve thing going on your left forearm, because then it'd be front and back.
It'd be front and back, yep. So, like, most of my right forearm would have been covered. Or the other alternative was to use my left shin. And at that point, I would have my right leg, my left arm, and my left leg done. And then I would have, like, three appendages and kind of, like, symmetrically building, like, this aesthetic that I'm trying to keep in the back of my mind as I go piece by piece, you know? So it's like, I've got like a vision of, like, what the tapestry will look like when it's, like, done.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't know what all the individual components will ultimately end up being. But the one thing I was, like, bound and determined to not do was to get my tattoo exactly where I ended up getting it.
Look at you.
I know. But, and it is like one of those things where it's just like, it's very dicey. But I walked in there and I told him the concept, and he loved it. And he was so excited about it, had great input on, like, what we were going to do and everything. All that was great. But I was like, Balazs, if there's, like, one thing I need you to do for me, it's like, you have to figure out the best place to put it, because I don't know what the best place to put it is. And so we went through and we held the stencil up to, like, all the different areas, and we went through the whole thing trying to figure out, like, what would work.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately it was just, like, one of those things where he's like, your shin wouldn't be a bad spot, but, like, the way that your shin is shaped and the way the design is, the picture will always look distorted. It's going to look like almost if you took the picture as, like, a, you know, like an image or whatever, and, like, twisted it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to look you're going to lose the effect of especially like what I'm going for sort of has like a big column-y shaped design here.
I mean, I'm looking at it from here and I'm like, there's only so many spots on your body that are even big enough to do it.
That's the other thing
you
too.
Know, yes. Lest you like you know, go for like your back or something.
But it's not really like the design doesn't lend itself to going on your back.
Not unless you, yeah, like really like, you know, pulled the corners out and did right. like a full back.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, that would be a completely different conversation altogether. So anyway, so I get in there and really the inner forearm is at least what the various tattoo artists that I've spoke to as I've been kind of going through this journey. They're like, this is like really, really, really prime real estate because this piece of like skin doesn't distort or twist. And even if you gain or lose weight or age, like this is like an area of skin that doesn't get like totally abused.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not one that frequently gets like sunburnt because it's like inner
right.
versus
yeah.
like outer, yeah. you know? So all of those types of things kind of like playing into the ultimate decision.
Well, imagine if you're the artist as well. This is like a highly visible area. Like lots of people will see your work if they do it here.
Right, right. Yeah. And so that's the thing. So the whole experience is also just crazy. Like from top to bottom, every aspect of it.
Well, let's start with what it looks like because we haven't actually told anyone part yet.
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's why you're the one true guest.
Oh, thanks, yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, so if anybody would remember when I talked about my right leg tattoo, it was by a 17th century priest by the name of Atanasius Kircher.
Oh wow,
I know. Yeah, which
Atanasius
is
Atanasius Kircher. Sure, yeah.
it sounds very highbrow, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
No, but he did these really, really, really elaborate and meticulous illustrations. And if you look him up, you'll see a lot of the work, and it's super, super gorgeous and like the exact style of artwork that the artist that I was working with does, because he does like the single needle thing. It's all ultra fine line work, and that's like sort of like his MO. So it's a great fit. So the illustration that I stumbled across, and so he did the drawing exactly, like I copied it exactly for my leg, for the drawing of the sun and all the lunar cycles
yeah.
around the earth. So this one is, Kircher's drawing was called The Magic Lantern. And so this is the 1600s, and he is effectively drawing the design for the concept of like the first ever moving picture. So you would have a candle that would be shining light through a lens, and that lens would feature an image that an operator could slide back and forth, which then through a projector on a wall would make it look as though the image was moving. And this, like at the time, you know, we have like modern day 4D movies and experiences and stuff like that. But for that period of time to witness something like this would have been like turning like a light switch on for the first time ever.
Right.
You know, like it would like blow your mind.
Right. Like it's moving.
And so the illustration itself is kind of like a big rectangle. So it doesn't lend itself very nicely to the kinds of designs that I wanted to do. So I was trying to reimagine it a little bit, but one of the things I really loved about the original drawing is that what he depicted on the wall was a skeleton.
Okay.
And it was specifically a skeleton holding like a scythe. And I think as the like lore of Kircher goes, is that because he was like involved with the church, the idea was that it was almost supposed to be this like intimidating demon, like demonic, like symbol mm-hmm. of okay. like a reaper
yeah.
or something like that. But either way, I really, really, really liked the skeleton. I thought that was really cool. And it was just kind of like, okay, so like, let's take the original drawing and reimagine it a little bit. So basically, if you were to look at my arm, what you've got is kind of like a almost like robed wizardish looking bearded man who is operating a magic lantern on the top. So he's got like a little crank in his hand that would like move the lenses and like a candle over top. But then depicted.
Oh, it's a crank in his hand. I got it.
Yeah.
I thought I kept looking at it. I was like, what's he putting inside of it?
No. Yeah. So that's like, that's
okay.
Like a little like,
that's
crank.
Like a
so,
handle. Okay.
So that's
okay.
Like what would like move the lenses so yeah, that it yeah. would create the effect of the image or whatever.
Yeah.
And pieces of this are kind of reimagined for the purposes of slightly the aesthetic. Like it all probably doesn't work the same way that like a magic lantern would work, but it's not fully meant to, because it's also just sort of like a metaphor.
Right.
So basically you see the guy up above, like the operator of the magic lantern. And then you've got our skeleton that's being projected next to like a small tree, which I'll come back to in a second. But basically what I have going on here is the skeleton is standing there reaching for the stars.
Right.
So in my mind, sort of like the way that I interpret what Kircher was doing back in the 1600s was developing a sense of like almost like technology or creative vision that was exceeding the available technology of the time.
Right.
So in a way, it's like he was like reaching beyond like what the time could even provide him.
Mm-hmm.
And would never in his lifetime ever know what moving pictures, what film and cinema could go on to be.
Right.
But to me, I love that kind of thinking. Like this was like somebody to me who was like a visionary. Like that's creativity. That's not using what they've got to try to imagine something even greater.
Right.
You know, even more phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of the whole thing is it's maybe slightly like meta in that way, but the skeleton reaching for the stars is supposed to be symbolic of the person who was reaching for the stars. And
okay.
it still matches back to the original drawing, which featured a skeleton. We've taken away the scythe and the whole like Reaper concept, because that's not really what we're after here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really part of it. But then the other cool thing is that we've got like a little bit of like a life and death thing going on here. So there's the skeleton on the one side. But then on the other, we have like a small tree.
Right.
And so the tree is also growing like towards the sun, but in a way that's almost like the plant that will grow into what the whole concept is supposed to eventually be.
I gotcha.
But then the other cool thing about the tree is that my other arm is a tree tattoo.
Is a tree, yeah.
So the idea is that this tree is the baby version of this tree.
I see.
So it's like the two were supposed to speak to each other in that way.
I gotcha.
And both of these designs were done by the same artist. But then the way that you can even link it to my leg to kind of create like a lore about like, you know,
your tattoos,
the tattoos, is that my leg tattoo is an actual drawing by Atanasius Kircher.
Right.
Like exactly. Like if you look it up,
that's who like the wizard is supposed to be then.
The wizard, roughly speaking, you could say is Kircher if you wanted to, that it's the operator, I guess, as far as that's concerned. But, yeah, so that's how it all came together. And, kind of as per usual, there was a little bit of freestyling on this one. The other one had more that was sort of like Balazs just being like, can I do some stuff I want to do? And I was like,
Yep.
So yeah, anyway, it came out really cool. It was the longest tattoo I've had yet. It was over 6 hours.
Wow.
Of tattooing. Mm. Whereas the tree was 5 and my leg was like 4, which blew my mind, because I thought the tree seemed more elaborate than the skeleton, but I was wrong.
Oh, well.
So I guess there's more like fine line, less shading, more detail work.
What's crazy to me is how much like sharper and clearer the new one is than the other one.
It's yes.
Like, because every time I see the other one, it always looks very sharp.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And that was very interesting too. So then maybe that can be like a little bit of a segue into the environment that you're finding yourself in. Because like the guy, the artist, is, you know, like he's worked with, I guess, like, I don't know, that his clientele are very different from me is probably what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like who he's typically attracting. So I remember last time I was in the room with him, he had like a fellow tattoo artist who was in there who had done like lots of like, you know, celebrities and stuff. And Balazs has done some of that kind of thing as well. And so you're sort of like, wow, this is crazy. Like, these are the people who do those people's work. Like, that's fun. That's cool. But this time, like, because he is based out of Budapest in Hungary, like, that's where he lives. When he travels to the States, he has to, like, collaborate with someone to have the space to work out of.
Okay.
So in this particular instance, we are in Ojai, California, OJAI.
Okay.
And it was like the weirdest fly on the wall experience of my life.
Yeah.
Like, getting to just see a kind of world that I feel like you hear about.
Right.
And then you're in it and you're like, this is so surreal and odd. And my brain was just trying to drink in like every second of it. But yeah, so I'm basically, so if I can back up, Blanche needs a place to go. So he is staying with his friend at his house. And so he messaged me the day before. He's like, yeah, I'm working out of like a garage. It's a really cool creative space. I think you're really going to like it. And so I was like, okay, this is odd, because last time we were in one of his friends who just is a tattoo artist in New York City's
like studio.
Studio.
Right. Yeah. So, like a place that is always putting tattoos on people.
Precisely. Yeah. Like that is what that place is there to do.
Right. You
know, it was a tattoo studio, and like when he showed up, it was already there. This time though, it's a house. And the guy's house is like the guy is just like, he's like one of these people you like see on like the TV show, like Silicon Valley or something like that, where it's like he runs like a multitude of like startups out of his home. And when you walk into like his studio, his garage, it's not like a garage where you would park a car.
Right.
It's like, it is like packed with machines and whiteboards and illustrations and like vision boards and ethos and like all these like terms that you might hear about if you're like watching a movie about, you know, someone starting, you know, Apple computers,
right,
or something like that. You, yeah, know, it's like people say like, yeah, Apple computers started in a garage, and it's like, this is probably what they meant.
Right. Something like this.
Not like, you know, next to the can of old rusty nails that your dad kept because you need nails sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. So I like to think that it was closer to that for like back then, you know,
and maybe those early inspiration type things is what breeds this new age version,
right,
of the same thing.
Yeah.
But so everywhere you look in the room, there's just stuff humming, stuff going on. I mean, it could be like walking into like Dumbledore's office.
Right.
You know? So the guy owned like a jewelry company and like had like fine gold jewelry everywhere, you know? And it's like, but that was like his like side hobby. So like I would see him over at like his computer, like just humming away, doing like a million different things while he was working on like, you know, storyboarding the future of this new business that he's pitching with the investors in LA on Tuesday, because they're going to dinner at Gino's or something, you know, like,
right,
like all these words where you're just like, what? Like, what is going on?
So just extreme wealth.
Extreme wealth in a different measure than I could even begin to understand.
Right. Like just like orders of magnitude greater than like, yeah, I have like a kind of rich friend.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at one point in time, like, you know, they're explaining to me like the jewelry thing, which is just his hobby. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, so like, you know, how does it all work? And he's like, well, I'm using this like ultra purified gold that can only be found in this specific kind of like nugget, and it's like, you know, most gold isn't this gold, but that's what I'm using. And he's like, here, let me find a piece. And he goes like, and he's like digging through drawers, and finally he finds a drawer and hands me like an ingot of gold, you know, like a raw nugget of gold,
right,
that weighs like a full pound.
Wow.
And like the going rate for gold is $4,000 an ounce.
Right. And he just hands it to you.
And he just hands it to me.
Right. Like from a drawer that he like had almost misplaced it.
He had almost misplaced this, like, right, you know, potentially $50,000 piece of gold.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what?
And you're like, yeah.
Like, this is just like, it's crazy.
Right. And this is his hobby.
And this is, yes. And that's exactly
it. And he always makes money.
Right. Yeah. So you're like,
here I am thinking we splurged over the weekend and bought like $300 worth of Pokemon cards. Apparently we don't even know what we're doing.
No, but we don't know what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, well, and you know what? That's also to say, like, I don't know that I walked away from it thinking like, this is the way I need to, like, this is like, you
that,
know,
that was going
to
be my question. Is it like you were around it? Or you're like, man, this is like what people are hunting for or something, or.
I'm not like judging it either. It's just like, it was just perspective.
I think at this point it's okay to judge it.
Well,
maybe a little.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But like, you know, like I think of like my sneakers, like, you know, like I've talked about that like a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Like, I like my sneakers and like, I know that like I hunt them down and I, you know, like I'm not like that. It's like a thing that I have fun, like the pursuit of discovering like a new pair that like exists out in the world that actually fits me, that, you know, has the original box with it still and stuff. And it's like, that's fun for me to do. That's like a little side quest I get to go on.
Yeah.
Like I walk into this room, I'm proud of my sneakers. I like these things would have like, it was almost embarrassing that I was wearing them in this room.
The sneakers like, you're wearing right now.
The sneakers I'm wearing right now. My very colorful like Air Jordan 1 sneakers.
Right.
That I love, by the way. Like this has not changed.
That doesn't change it, right?
My love for it. But like, while we're there, while I'm like going through the experience, you know, like they're telling me about this like boutique Italian leather boot company that they all love. They're all wearing boots from this company, and they're like showing me the website. And these things are like in the thousands of dollars per pair,
right?
You know, and you're just like, holy goodness. Like I can't.
Did they buy them like right in front of you?
I believe they did. I believe that they were their version of like online shopping while they were like in between tasks was like, you know, that's more than I will spend on like, you know, like,
right. Like you're sitting there like talking to these guys and they're bringing up this elite boot company. You're wearing shoes that you love so much you've replaced.
Yes. Yeah. And, my second pair.
Right.
Yeah.
They're having a conversation about a boot company and like on a whim, they buy a pair of boots just because they had like a conversation about it in passing.
Yeah.
That costs like, you know, more than your mortgage for a month.
Like three times.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just like,
that's insane.
It's insane.
Right. That's like, it's too much money.
It is. And it's like, you could see like how, and I've never thought about this before. And I would be curious whether or not like I do it like on a different scale, but it did seem like all of it was like armor for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everything about how they like lived there. And this is not my artist, by the way. This is this is where he's staying.
Right.
Like the guy who owns the house is like a client of his. That's how they know each other. But you know, like it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Like, you know, and they would go through like, it's like I can't decide how specific I should even be about this stuff because I'm like, oh my gosh, like what if I say something and like, I don't know, like it,
right?
You know, it's like my demise.
Your demise.
It's like you're not supposed to like what was said in the room stays in the room.
Sounds to me like if what we say on our little podcast here makes it all the way to them, it's like we have found you know, that to me should represent to them that we have range, you know.
We got range.
And we are worth investing in, you know. Like, you know, that's what I
Yeah.
You wanna like, hey, you can buy our podcast. You know what? Yeah. For a reasonable sum.
Right.
I doubt you'll even notice it left your bank account.
Yeah. I mean, it was just madness, Jay. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it was so interesting. Like, you know, like, so what, like one of the guys there, you know, for example, like I'm like listening to him, show one of the other guys, like a listing for a property. And I won't get any more specific than that, but it's a property that his family had owned growing up.
Okay.
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, you're just sort of like, yeah, like I understand that, you know, like it would be like our cabin in Vermont. Like I love our cabin in Vermont.
Right.
You know, it's like there's so many happy memories growing up and that type of thing.
Right.
And so But it, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, like my uncle owned it growing up, and like we would go there and like, you know, look at all these like cool rooms, like all this like fun stuff and everything. And then, you know, then he sold it to this like, you know, this like rock star guy, and he lived there, you know, for like however long. And he's like, I'm thinking about, I might just like make an offer, and like we can make it like full circle and like bring it back in the family or whatever. And so I use just
we were like, oh yeah, my wife did that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My wife owns the home that her parents built when she was growing up.
But there was a resident between.
There was.
All right, okay.
Yes, yes. And you know, so I'm just using, and all this is like, you know, I'm just like listening because I'm like sitting there and, you know, like the work is being done on my arm, and so I'm just sort of like taking in the conversation through or whatever. So I get back to my hotel room that night, and I'm just sort of like, okay, let me see if I can find the property.
Yeah, could you find it?
Oh, absolutely. Right away. Took no time at all.
It's like big, well-known property.
Big, well-known property. Okay. It cost $28
million. $28
million? $28
million. Was it a castle?
It was like a castle.
It was a castle. Yeah. It was a castle?
It was like a castle.
Someone's castle shopping in the room you got a tattoo with?
Yes. And like, you know, in the offhand, I mean, and it's like, you know, in the way that like, you'd be like, we don't have anything for lunch today. Might you want to go and get a Jack Brown's burger after this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like it felt like that measure of like casual discussion.
Man, after the podcast, I was kind of thinking maybe we do some castle shopping.
We, you know, it's like, why don't,
like, we've been talking about CastleCon. Let's just drop $28 million on one.
Right. And you know what? If we don't have a ride to get from here to there, you know, we could just go like, I think that there's like a Mercedes dealership down the street. Like we could just go, we'll just go pick up what they've got on the lot.
Are you like, feeling like a little cheap today? Or?
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. No, I mean, so anyway, it's not that I'm trying to judge. It's just simply the experience was so like the economy of scale was so different from anything I have ever witnessed before.
Right.
And for all I know, like, Maybe it's like a giant, like just, you know, peacock show or something. And people are just sort of like kind of showing their feathers. And it's sort of like, how can I make myself, you know, like stand up to them? And, you know, they have this and I'm jealous of that. And like, you know, like I don't know.
Right.
Like there's no way for me to know. Mm-hmm. All I can report back is just simply like the conversations that I witnessed and heard and what I saw.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, but it was a really, really cool space and environment to be in. And everybody there was like a major big time, you know, creative, you know, people just seemed to like kind of cycle through the house throughout the day. There was a giant tapestry like tacked up to the wall that they were doing this like really gorgeous, like, you know, painting like with real paint. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the artist came by and she was showing like somebody who she was working with about like, you know, what she was up to with the painting. And so, I mean, you get to meet these people that were like just on a different level entirely.
Right.
So that was cool. You know, that was interesting.
That sounds extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I tried to take it in.
And you were like, I make like Harry Potter videos.
That's what I said, you know, and one of the people that came through, they were like, what's it called? And I was like, it's called Through the Gryffindor. And they're like, I'm going to listen to it. And I was like, please do.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. Please find it just so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Please check it out. So, anyway, yeah.
We go on tour and stuff.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. So that was that.
Yeah.
A pretty wild day, one that I do not think I am will be quick to forget.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it. I feel like this is the kind of thing where like you'll continuously have stories drip out of this experience for years to come.
Oh, and there could be no doubt, because, you know, I was with this crowd of guys for, you know, the better part of like 11 hours start to finish, from like when we got up that morning to meet for, you know, breakfast and do all that type of stuff, until like I you know, went through the conceptual designing and actually had the tattoo like applied and, you know, accounting for breaks and, you know, food and all that type of stuff. Like, you know, so I spent a lot of time just like taking it in.
Yeah.
So there's no way for me to translate everything that came out, you know, throughout the course of it. But It was cool. It was an experience.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Man.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so we're in what we may refer to as the end game, aka the holiday season. It can be a frantic time of year as a shopper, what with cold weather, busy parking lots, and stores full of people. But it wasn't until recently that I realized just how chaotic this season can be if you happen to be the vendor. In this case, of course, I'm speaking about our very own store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. Shopify is huge this time of year. We are adding way more inventory than ever to the storefront to get you all loaded with just what you need in time for the holidays. And Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that help write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography to help increase your reach during the busiest time of year. So if you want to give your customers the best experience possible this holiday season, you need Shopify. This Black Friday, join the thousands of new entrepreneurs hearing for the first time with Shopify. Sign up for your free trial today at shopify.com/poppop. That's Shopify.com/pop. One last time for safety, Shopify.com/poppop, and make this Black Friday one to remember. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Chewy! I remember dating all the way back to my years in college, selling my textbooks back to the bookstore, and going from a broke college student to a college student with $213 to my name, and all at once capable of purchasing gifts for my friends and family for the holidays. I distinctly remember this experience and how it sparked the joy for gift giving, and my apparent deep-seated desire to find the best gifts for loved ones, and enter Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods is like a holiday cheat code, packed with tons of unique and awesome products that you've just never stumbled across before. Think murder mystery jigsaw puzzle, a candy of the world advent calendar, custom pet embroidered sweatshirts. I mean, come on! And don't sleep on the sassy storage containers. These things are adorable, hilarious. These things are adorable, hilarious, and most importantly, still functional. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Don't wait. Cross the names off your list before the rush to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/poppop. That's uncommongoods.com/poppop for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Well, Ben, you might have been handling, raw gold, but I was hunting for iron ore this weekend.
Hey, as they say, potato baked potato.
Potato baked potato. Exactly. This is actually, I would call it, it was more baked potato, I suppose.
Oh.
Because we went to Roaring Run. Have you been on this hike before?
I believe we've been on that hike
yes,
together.
Yes, I think we have. You're right.
We had our friend Trey's homemade wine.
Yes, our friend Trey made some homemade wine from, once upon a time.
You know, from his vineyard.
From his vineyard.
Yeah. No. He made it in his garage.
We got some. This is some garage wine, y'all.
Right, right. And not the kind of garage that, like, you know...
Yeah, there wasn't a half-finished tapestry from some famous artist on the wall.
Hanging on the wall. Sorry, no. It was good wine. Yeah.
It was potent wine. I'll tell you what. It was potent.
Yeah.
It was really potent wine.
Yeah.
But Roaring Run in the Southwest Virginia area is a nice, awesome little hike that's only like a mile long, and at the end are all of these different waterfalls, many of which form natural slides, which are really cool. Now, it's too cold here in November to take advantage of such things, but it is such a kid-friendly hike that we thought it would be fun to take the kiddos out there for the day and just, like, let them, you know, walk through the woods and go, you know. We'd love to do more hikes with them, so we're like, we gotta start them on somewhere.
Right. No, of course. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So this was like a very good starter hike. And we've been on like a few walks in the woods with them before. And it is like crazy to me because, like, you know, we told, you know, the kids that we were going to, you know, Nick and Nate were just like, whatever, you know, that's just what we're doing today, I guess.
Right.
Luke, of course, initially liked it, but then when he found out how long the car ride was going to be, it was just like, I don't want to go, blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, you get there, and it's like, once you set kids free in the woods, it is amazing to me how it is just like their brains explode with, like, this is the greatest place in the entire world.
It, dude,
like, and it's just like the woods, you know?
The glory of the forest.
The glory of the forest, exactly. Yes.
I mean, there is something magical about the woods. Like, I think there's a, I mean, I don't know, not to get a certain kind of way or anything, but like there, it's just like, it's like magical.
It is magical. You know? It's absolutely, it's like the wonderment comes up. There's just like so much to interact with and explore and flip over and pick up and touch. And it's just like, it's not like, you know, when you're at a museum, it's like, can I touch this? It's like, yeah,
yeah,
pick it up. Flip it over. What, oh, look at those bugs, you know, whatever. You think you can climb on top? It's like, yeah, imagine, it's like you go somewhere, any other indoor place with kids, and it's like, no, don't touch that, don't climb on that, these kids. Nah, and now I'm like see if you can climb on that rock, you know. It's right, like,
yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's up there. And then Luke gets up there and he's like, I'm naming this like Ladybug Kingdom because there's tons of ladybugs up here. And it's just like, okay, cool.
I'm down for that.
All right. Yeah. And then, you know, it was great seeing them like run around in the woods and stuff. And just it is always so fun to watch them, because like we don't go hiking a ton, although maybe we will go more as a result of this. But it was like, it is so fun seeing them just like sprint down the trails, and you know, they'll get right up next to the water, and they'll like do, I mean, it just reminds me so much of just like, you know, hanging out with like you and Mike and John. They're just like, oh, let's jump, and you're like, wait.
I know. We've had the conversation so many times, but it's like there's that part of you that like is like, I feel like the adventures that we went on as kids, like as teenagers especially, it was like all of those things like kind of like made us into the people that we are.
Yeah.
And so it's like, on some level, it's like, it would be so great to see them like go and explore and adventure and just sort of like go for it. But then at the same rate, I'm like, everything we did was so dangerous. Like,
right.
Why did we do such dangerous things?
I know. But we're okay.
We're fine. We're good. Yeah.
It was a super good little hike. Had a blast with the kiddos. But then we get to the end. It's like a circular kind of hike. So, you know, you end at a different spot than you start, or at least coming down a different trail. Obviously, you finish where you start because it's a circle. But
right,
you know, but we get to the end, and there's this like giant furnace built there, like an old time furnace. So it's like I don't know, two stories high or something, and just made completely out of rocks. And what they did in this place was they would have like a big water wheel turning, and they would feed in like all of the like iron ore and stuff in the top, and then it would melt it down, and then they could like make metal out of it. And that's, you know,
that's really cool. Yeah,
it was really cool. But then we're reading the sign, and it says like, you know, I guess there would be some amount of, I don't know much about it. There was like some amount of like blasting or whatever. And it's like, look around on the ground and see if you can find any like slag or, you know, iron ore or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. And I'm like thinking, you know, this has been here for decades, you know,
right?
Like people come here literally every day. This is like a class field trip kind of thing. Like thousands and thousands of kids have
it's been combed
the forest floor here. Like, we're not going to find anything.
You know, what it reminds me of is like when me and you were growing up, we were in Boy Scouts. We went to this like cool, like private island Botany Bay.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, like an uninhabited, I think there was like one house on it, island. And we went on this like 10-mile like beach walk, and we found like more full-sized conch shells.
Yeah.
Like to the point where it was like, we just got to start chucking them, you know, like
right.
When you go to the beach on like a normal like week at the beach, if you find one marginally intact conch shell, it's like you won the shell game.
Yes. You won the lottery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this was like, these were like perfectly formed, unbroken,
giant.
You know, like, I mean, probably, yeah, like, you know, 7-8 inches,
yeah.
like beefy things. Like
Nature's treasure. As discussed here on the pop.
Right.
We've got one right in front of us.
We do have one right in front of us.
Like, that's a small one.
A small one, right.
Yeah.
And you like, I got to the point where it was like to throw them away. Not throw them away, but just leave them.
Start being picky.
Yeah, just start being picky. And it's the thing is that when you're like, oh, when no one's here, they don't get picked up because right. there's no one to pick them up.
Right.
So they're everywhere.
So they're everywhere.
So anyway, so I would imagine the same thing as you. Basically, you go on this trail. Hundreds of people go through it every single week. They're right. all reading the sign. They're all picking it up. There's none left.
Right. Yes. So, and even on the sign though, there's like two, there were actually two pieces on the sign.
Oh, wow.
Like, which also made me think like, oh, look, someone managed to find two and they like left them here as an example or something.
Right.
You know, whatever, but there's only two. And of course we got like three kids. So I'm like, well, let's, you know, look around, see if we can find some or whatever.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, but it is not picked over or
no.
else it is way more common than you think.
Wow.
Because man, did we find so much of it.
Really?
Yes, so much. And it's like super cool. It's like, you know, this like black glassy rock and you know they're like banging on or whatever and it splits open and it's like rainbows on the inside and you're like, what is this? This is crazy. And
that is so
Luke
cool.
finds this one like stuck under a root and I'm like, it's like, you know, we can't pull it out and it's like big and we're like digging at it for a while and we finally unearth it and it was like, man, this is so cool.
Did you keep it?
Oh, I mean, we kept a bunch of them. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then they got home and they were all like cleaning them off. And some of them are like, yeah, they're so shiny and stuff. So that was cool. I couldn't believe how easy they were to find.
That's great.
You know, it was just like, this is great. Cause I would have thought completely picked over, nothing to hear, but boy, nothing will light a fire under your kids. Like a treasure hunt,
right?
You know, of like, this is literal, like coming out of the ground, wild treasure, you know,
yes.
as far as they're concerned. And Luke's like, I'm a millionaire. And I'm like, that's worth $0. So no, you're not. But
but still, like yes. it doesn't make it any less cool.
Yes, yes. Like the excitement of like, oh my gosh, look at these. And, you know, they're all like, you know, some of them are like kind of green colored. Some have this like red tint to them. It was like, it was cool. And I'm like, then we're trying to figure out like, is this like iron ore or is this like slag or I don't know. Or like just limestone. But then you're also sort of like, I guess this makes sense why they chose to put it here. Cause this is clearly an area rich with this element, which they are either the product or what they are turning into the product.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But you're right. I mean, yeah, no, that's like a hooting and hollering good time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you, that's what, like, it's like what you want to do. That feels like the type of thing that'd be like a crystallized memory for them as they grow older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I hope
remember, remember the day we found all the rocks?
Yeah. Yeah. We found the rocks. We were digging them up. Yeah. 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 We still have them. Look, there they are.
Right.
Yeah. Although gosh, there are sometimes though when kids, like my kids, they'll go anywhere and pick a rock. You know, these happen to be more special rocks, but it was like, oh, sometimes you come home from like the park and it's like, where's my rock? And I'm like, sorry, I didn't keep that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. This happens like every day. Addison's preschool, it's like such a strange way to drop her off because there's this like really wonderful like horseshoe right out front, right up next to the doors. But it's like the space is designated, like they're all like, you know, like handicap parking spots. So it's like you have to park like out on the like on the street and then like kind of like wind your way like, you know, up and everything. And so it's sort of like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But it means that every single morning Addison and I are walking through some amount of like foliage, a couple of like overhanging trees, you know, and stuff like that. And so about once a week she will pick up and hand me like an acorn or a leaf or a thing. And it's like, here, she's always just like, Daddy, keep this. And I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Some of this, we can keep some of it. Some of it we might have, like some of it might end up going back on the ground.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's like, yeah, this is just a pine cone, you know?
Right. Right.
You know?
But what's also crazy to me is that Addison's like mental inventory of all of her like precious objects is like so elaborate already.
Yeah.
Like she has what she calls her collections.
Her collections. Yeah.
Yeah. And these are like just every container, every box, every, you know, anything that she's ever gotten, whether it was like a gift or, you know, like it's like a purse or I don't know, just like anywhere she can just go and start like putting things.
Yeah.
And then like on random days, she'll be like, where are my bouncy balls? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, she's like, no, it was in my pink purse, my collection, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
Oh man. And then she'll find it. And sure enough, her bouncy balls are in like the plastic pink purse,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, I haven't seen this for like a year. Like
You remember it? Yeah.
You remembered that you put your bouncy balls in this?
That's crazy. I mean, hopefully that means she just has a very organized mind, you know?
That's what I'm hoping for, because yeah. I have my brain desk.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's not organized.
Yeah.
At all.
Luke will, he'll love a box. He'll love a box or a container or an anything.
Yeah.
And he'll do the same thing, but it won't, there's not normally like a big rhyme or reason to like whatever. It's sort of like, I've got a thing and I'm going to put all the things that are important to me in here, but all the things that are important to me, like that I decide are important within eyesight right now in this moment. You know?
Right.
And
yes.
It's like, now all those things are in there and either they will stay there and he will know that he thought these were all important. And so they need to stay together or he needs to know where that is, but he doesn't always remember every single thing that's like in there.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yes.
So then sometimes you'll just be like, be going through it like 3 weeks later or something. And you're just sort of like, wait, what is the, this is, I've been looking for this, you know?
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
This is the socket to the vacuum cleaner.
Right. Yeah. Like it made it in or
right,
whatever.
Right.
So yeah. Or whatever it is. But there are many boxes of special precious things.
Maybe this is a good sign that he's going to be good about like living in the moment.
Yeah.
And like no matter where he is, he will be like, I am so like all of, you know, right now, my favorite people here are that person, that person, that person, and this person.
Right.
And my favorite thing about where we are is that they have this here. And, you know, so it's just like, it's kind of like, you know, he's not thinking about where the other collections are. He's thinking about the collection at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, so other thing that maybe this is kind of in the same vein is that like, I love kids. And I wonder how much adults do this too versus like kids or whatever. But like, you know, a couple years ago when we went on that Disney cruise, for example.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I mean, it was a good trip. It was fun. But like, if you were to ask Beth about it, or me about it, it was like, it was fun, but it was also like a ton of work at the same time.
I remember that.
It was like, you know, there are kids crying. There's like, you know, we want to go do stuff, but like, who's like, what are we going to do with them? They, you know, they want to go to the daycare, but they don't want to stay in the daycare, or this looks fun. Let's go do that with the kids. But actually there's a really big line, or let's go up to the pool, but it's really crowded, or, you know, let's go to breakfast, but there's like one table and someone has to sit and then we have to take turns getting food. And, you know, it was like,
all of
those things where it's like, you know, we're trying to get food for Nick for dinner, but he cried for 90 minutes straight and then he slept for 19 hours or whatever.
Right,
it's like, yeah,
right.
Okay, he was just tired, but like, but if you were to ask the kids about it, like, they have no memory of that. It was nothing but like a nonstop best week of my life on a boat ever.
Sunshine,
you know?
Rainbows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, that was so fun, you know? Like, they don't remember a single bad thing about the trip at all.
Well, and I wonder, you know, how much that ends up being the case for, yeah, exactly like you said, for adults, where it's like, you know, you go and like inevitably throughout the course of your travels or whatever, there's going to be like hiccups and hangups and things you have to deal with and work through and problem solve and blah, blah, blah. And it's always sort of like, oh, like, you know, but then eventually when you think back on it, you don't really think about those details. Like this happens to me when I describe like Addison to people all the time, because like I can fundamentally know that like the early stages of having a child and, you know, like having a lot of like broken sleep and, you know, kind of like just always having like one ear on like, you know, hot alert for like, well, what's going on, and you're always checking the baby monitor and all those types of things, like your attention is always focused on them, you know, in a way that like means that you're probably not as fully focused on the things that maybe like a year and a half prior, I was always focused on, like, these things had my full attention. But then, like, when I think back about it, I don't think about any of those things.
Right.
I don't think about, like, I can't even remember, like, being upset about broken sleep. You know, it's like, I remember that it happened.
I know. It's like, I remember that it happened, and I remember, like, that I was tired about it, but, like, I don't, like, focus on that part of it.
Yeah, it's almost like it doesn't matter. It's like, I got through it.
Yeah, now here I am.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
So, no, you're right. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So, maybe that's like just like the big push. It's like, just go do stuff. You're only going to remember the good things.
Right. Yeah.
You
like,
know?
Yeah. The bad stuff, you'll just like filter that out.
You just filter it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Or try to be better about that anyway, you know, just like what was good about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Gratitude. That was like a weird one that, actually over the course of the weekend, while I was in the room with all these radical people. I felt like I kept trying to interject and have something worthwhile to say.
Yeah.
And the thing I caught myself saying like 7 times throughout the course of the day was expressing gratitude for things.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so it would just be like, it'd be like my turn to talk or like say something or interject in the conversation or whatever. And I'm like, I'm just so grateful to have my family, you know, like, I mean, that's like what really, you know, matters to me. Or anything. And, I was like, man, it's like every time I'm like trying to have something to say, it's almost always the same underlying sentiment.
Right.
Which is just gratitude.
Right.
And people talk about that all the time. Like they talk about like, it's good to practice gratitude. It's good to try to appreciate the things, not the bad things in your life, exactly what we're saying, but the good things.
Yeah.
You know, like what do I love about my life? And it's like, it's so easy to say that you should do that, but executing that and genuinely feeling that is a completely different animal.
Right. It totally is. Sorry, I was covering my mouth for a yawn there. It totally is.
Yes. Yeah. But then I was sort of like, wait a second. Have I actually done it? Like, did I crack the ceiling?
That was it. Yeah. You had to like go around. Like, did you feel like they were not grateful or express a lot of gratitude?
No. I mean, not specifically. I think it was just like, I felt, and I do this anyway. Like sometimes this will happen after like our tour experiences.
Yeah.
Like we'll do our meet and greet line. You'll talk to, you know, all these like really cool people throughout the course of, you know, the hour and a half or so that we do that portion of the show for. And a lot of times I'll get home at the end of the night and I'll replay all the conversations in my head and I'll be like, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, did I put my foot in my mouth? Did I say something like, did I handle this thing that they said well? Did I respond appropriately? Like, you know, like I like try to go through like all the little interactions. And so that was largely what was happening when I got to the end of this particular day. Like I was all wired up because the day was just so interesting and there is an adrenaline rush associated with getting the tattoo and you're kind of going through that like simulated stressor, you know, like like there's a lot of like cortisol flowing and probably resulting dopamine because like you're physically like experiencing like a painful thing, but for like a positive reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get to the end of the night and I'm just like wired, you know, like I could not sleep. And so I was just thinking about everything I said throughout the course of the day. And I was like, I kept saying the same thing. And so, but then of course I'm going into like the mental spirals. I'm like, I bet I was so annoying. All I kept talking about was how grateful I was for everything. Then I'm like, you know what? There's worse things to say. It wasn't being mean. It wasn't being judgmental.
Nope.
You know, I was just like, I like my family a lot. I like my job.
Yeah.
You know, like the people who I get to meet because of my job are very interesting and nice. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so anyway, yeah, it was just,
man, yeah, it just like, you're right. What a day to be a fly on the wall and like a whole different like echelon of like wealth, I guess.
Of human existence. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a decent chance that I'll just like, that I'll never do that again.
Well, yeah. But like, I feel like what's really refreshing though is that like, you didn't like walk out of there like, man, I want to like that, like, is the lifestyle.
No, I did not feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't like, maybe I should, you know, abandon my fun Nike collection that I have and start buying Italian leather boots or something, which again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. It's just, I never wanted it before.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I was appreciative of the fact, I was grateful that I walked out and I was like, I still like my sneakers.
Right.
You know, I still like these. However, I could absolutely see, if you live in that world all the time, how quickly this becomes a thing.
Right.
That's why I say, like, there was that piece of me that was almost like, you have no idea what is like the peacocking aspect of it. Like, what is sort of like, oh yes, this is what I do. This is my thing. This is my fancy excursion I went on in Zambia or something.
Right.
You know? Like, it's like, it could all just be true because everything else seemed true. Like, there was so much supporting evidence to suggest that it was. But I could also see, like, if you just lived in that environment all the time, and this is what they're all talking about all the time, that it would be like, the keeping up with the Joneses thing would be like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing it reminded me the most of, did I already say this? Like, in The Social Network, when Mark Zuckerberg is, like, creating Facebook, there's like a whole scene where him and I can't remember who Justin Timberlake's character is Sean Parker. Yeah, Sean Parker. There we go. They've like rented a house, I think somewhere in California, and it's got like a swimming pool in the backyard.
Yeah.
And you know, all these people are kind of like living there, and they're just doing all the things or whatever. And you know, you might walk in and somebody's like locked in, you know, coding and doing all that type of stuff. It felt like being there. But like
right.
the real life version of that.
Yeah.
You know, like these are all just they're crazy go-getters. I mean, and I was there on a Saturday and all this stuff was going on. So
yeah.
Like to them, this is not like a 9-to-5 work week. You know, they wake up and they just go and grind, you know,
right.
Like that's what comes next.
Right.
Like it's always on.
Mm-hmm.
But then even throughout the course of the day, you know, like they're going through and they're programming and doing all this type of stuff. And like these, I mean, just like, I was like, I can't take a picture of it because this is like their intellectual property, but like their whiteboard just had like, you know, all these like terminology, like phase 1, phase 2 development, R&D, you know, like all the buzzwords you hear attached to,
right.
You know, like industry or mm-hmm. whatever. But then like, you know, the guy would take a pause and he would do like his online shopping, and then he would take a pause and he would go and like literally melt gold to make like a new pendant, like in between going back to his other desk to respond to emails about like an AI thing, you know, or like,
right.
Like whatever. And it's just, and I tried to ask him what he did. And when he explained it to me, like every single word that came out of his mouth, it was like hearing like technobabble.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what any of that is.
Right.
Like I have, there is nothing at all that I can contribute to this. And it's like, I would never really consider myself like smart, but I would also not consider myself like lacking. And
right.
I was like, I can't help any. Like,
right.
Like you are speaking a completely different language.
Right. It's yeah. like a whole different like world of like startups and like strategies and like processes and
right.
everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seemed very lucrative.
Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like probably it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was, okay, have you heard the phrase holding space?
Holding space, like that would mean, I feel like I can, like, I think yes. To me, it sounds like you would, like you're mentally reserving a, like, blank spot in your brain to think about something. I don't know.
I think that's probably a perfectly fine interpretation of it, you
okay.
know, or like alternatively, it might be like, I have a big, you know, meeting on Thursday night. So I'm holding space for, you know, all of the mental, like everything I need to bring to that. Or like, you know, I'm in a committed relationship. And so I need to like hold space for my partner at the end of the day so that like, you know, I don't go and like completely burn myself out at work and then don't have anything like left to give when I get home. Or whatever.
I see.
But it, which, you know, I think probably our balances that many people fall into a pretty typical rhythm with anyway. And you probably have days where you go to work and it's just a bad day. And you've, the end result is that you got to the end of the day and you've failed to hold space.
You've held no space.
But I think it felt very buzzwordy to me. Like it was another like one of those things that they I kept hearing them say it, like as much as I said gratitude, they said holding space.
Right. It's that, I mean, that to me sounds like a born of talking. Here's my guess, is that you have like an assistant or something, which it wouldn't surprise me if any of these people did.
Like yes. Probably.
Right. And it's like it sounds like calendar talk, like hold a space on Thursday for me to do, like, I don't know what it'll be yet, but like, don't like keep that open.
I think that's right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, the closest version of it that I could, we don't do this, you know, like, but it would almost be like, I don't know. Like when we go on tour, just sort of like being like, okay, we need to hold space for the performance tonight, you know? Oh. Like it would be like, no guys, we're not available from, you know, it would almost be like as if we built in 3 hours of like Zen into the morning so that like we would be like that much more ready for later.
Right.
But instead we just get up and we get in the car and we go.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah.
You know, and so like probably on some level it's also like a distillation of just self-care, you know, just
okay.
Take care of yourself, I guess, you know, like pace yourself even. But yeah, I mean, it was just interesting. It was, I am curious to hear, I feel like I got so close to it, like while I was there, you know, that like, it feels fresh enough that it all makes sense to me. But I also know that while I was there, it was like, I was experiencing culture shock in real time.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, whoo, okay, this is just, it's, yeah. I've said it, so I feel like I keep landing on the same reaction. It was just different.
It was, yeah. Sounds like it was a crazy day, but end of the day, you got a awesome new tattoo.
Yeah. I am so stoked about it. I think it turned out really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm super happy with it, and I'm now mostly curious to see what the next.
Yeah. I'm sure you're not done.
Yeah. I don't think I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm done.
Nice.
It
there's... sounds like also you didn't have like the travel woes of a Jay and Beth trip.
Well, no, not entirely. No. So actually a little bit.
Oh yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. So like there was the grand hit and run of October, 2025.
Right. Yeah.
Where the drunk driver hit my truck.
Right.
And that has had ongoing ripple effects that are like, very odd.
It's so frustrating because you had nothing to do with it.
I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And that is the thing. Like, this is like another one of those where I'm like, I don't know if I'm just like maybe too close to the scene I was at over the weekend, but like, I'm like, there must be some like karmic injustice going on. Or like, I must have like angered, you know, the universe in some way. Because like, sometimes there are struggles and they are like, like the, oh, look at this, the consequences of my own actions,
right,
you know, yeah. like I wanted to watch one more episode of my favorite TV show last night and I stayed up too late. And now I'm exhausted at work all day.
Right.
Like, you know, like that's a, you know, it's like, it's not like it's not hard, but you at least had some say in what happened.
Right.
But so, you know, like, on top of everything else, I got sick again last week, which meant that like my work week was all thrown off and I was already going to be gone on Friday because I needed to fly out to LA to have my appointment on Saturday, then to fly back on Sunday. So it was like this, you know, two huge travel days with a day in the middle that was also going to be physically like trying, if nothing else, just by the very nature of having the tattoo perform.
Yeah.
But then in addition to that, like I've been driving around like my rental car because my other vehicle is still being repaired. And that's its whole other just like myriad of like weird issues where I'm like I have found myself like solving problems for like the like auto body shop and the insurance company. And I'm like, am I supposed to be this involved in the process? Like what would happen if like I wasn't making these phone calls or like finding these parts or sourcing this thing or whatever? Like,
yeah, right.
You know, like, so that's been a whole thing too. But then on top of everything else, I get up on Friday morning, I still have to take like Addison to preschool before I go and catch my flight. And when I get out of the car, it's like really cold. And you know, like when the weather gets cold from where it had been warm, it's not uncommon for your tire pressure in your vehicle to go down.
Right.
And usually you've got to almost like accommodate for the colder air, which I guess is like denser or something and causes, you know, your PSI to go down. So, you know, I drive Addison to school. I go home, get my bags, you know, and I'm like seeing the little thing flashing on my dashboard or whatever. And I'm like, okay, like let me pull over at a gas station real quick. I'll throw some air in the tire, you know,
right.
we'll be on our way. And then in the process of doing that, I like get to the airport or whatever. And like, as I'm pulling into the airport, my light comes back on again for like my front right tire. And it's sort of like 9 PSI. And I'm like, I just brought it to 35 like 8 minutes ago.
Right.
And so sure enough, I get out of the car and you can hear the air.
Oh no.
Exiting the vehicle.
Wow.
And so it's like, I have a flat tire and it's sort of like, this really stinks because my eventual return home is a midnight, it's past midnight flight. So I got in last evening at like 12:30.
Right.
So it's like, I can't have somebody come pick me up from the airport if my vehicle's not okay.
Right.
Because like, it's the middle of the night. Who's going to want to get up in the middle of the night to come get me?
Right.
You know, but so I like call Enterprise and I'm like, I'm at the airport right now. I'm getting ready to take off on a flight. My car is parked in airport parking, but I am actively receiving a flat tire.
Right.
And
okay, I'm watching it happen.
I'm watching it happen. And
what a problem.
I know. And they're like, well, where are you parked? And I was like, I'm parked in like the pay to park parking lot at the airport. And they're like, unfortunately, we're not allowed to go do anything there. You know, they're like, we can't work on your car for you while it's there. So, you know, they're like, I don't know. Well, and literally what the girl on the phone says was, don't worry about it. We'll figure something out. Go enjoy your trip. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
But that largely meant that, you know, going into the weekend, I was not going to know all the way up until I got home on my return flight whether or not my vehicle was going to have a problem.
Right.
But it didn't even end there because we have like accumulated points through doing like our rental cars for tour and stuff like that. So when I was renting my car out in California, I was able to use points to rent the vehicle and effectively get my rental car out there for free.
Right. Cool.
Perfect. Right.
Right.
So I get off the phone with Enterprise about the flat tire. I get an email from Enterprise about checking in for my car rental that I'll be picking up later that day.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through the process and filling in all my information, it's popping up and it's like, there's an error. You already have a car with Enterprise. You can't have two cars with Enterprise at the same time. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean I can't two cars? So I call like the 800 number, whatever. I'm talking to these people on the phone and I'm trying to explain my plight. And I'm like, my car was hit in a hit and run by a drunk driver last month. It's at the auto body shop. Through insurance, I have a rental car from you guys, which is back at home, which is at my airport at home with a flat tire,
right,
that you can't fix for me,
right?
And and I'm flying to pick up a reservation in California, and he's like, you can't have two reservations at once. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't have two reservations?
I don't see
at
why
once?
Not
why did you let me reserve it,
right?
And
yeah,
he's like, well, we don't like check to see if you've already got a reservation when you book it. And I'm like, why not?
But you should.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, I'm sorry, man, there's nothing you could do. You're not gonna be able to rent that car. Like, and thank goodness I called, because otherwise I would have landed and gone through this whole process of getting to the Enterprise desk and waiting in that huge line.
Oh, yeah.
Only to get up there and then be like, no, we can't rent you a car. You have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere else.
So
you're going to go wait in that long line for the Hertz desk.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I'm like, well, what do I do? And he's like, well, if you don't pick up the car, it won't bill you for it. You'll just get your points back. Whatever. No problem. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Thanks.
But then I go over to Hertz and I go to rent a car, and that's going to cost me like $400 that were like completely unexpected. And I was like, this was supposed to be like
free,
you know, like, you know,
the terrible irony is that by leaving it at the airport, you almost certainly just left it like one parking lot over from a return spot.
That is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll get to that in just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. There's more to come. So then it's like this whole thing. So I switched to Hertz or whatever, where I'm not like a valued customer because I don't have their, you know, rewards program because I use Enterprise.
Right.
Like, it was just like a choice I made.
They'll pick you up.
It's a choice I made one time years ago, and that's where the account is.
Right.
So, you know, so then I go and I get in this crazy long line and it's like zigzagging back and forth and it's taking forever. And I'm talking to like the people behind me. We're having like a whole nice conversation about, where are you from? Like, what are you guys doing? What are you visiting for? Blah, blah, blah. We're doing the whole thing. And finally they're like, all right, next. And so I go and I walk around, and as I'm walking around, I see this man standing there and I'm like, this is my friend Chris W from elementary school.
No way.
He looked exactly like him. Exactly. And I was like, holy crap. I have not seen this person since we were like 11.
Man.
So like on my way around the desk to go to like my little person, I like tap this person on the shoulder. I'm like, is your name Chris? And he's like, nah. And I'm like, dang it.
Wow.
I was like, I was certain.
Wow. It
was
him.
And he works in the film industry now. So like, it would have even made sense for him to be in LA.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so, I cannot believe I'm running into you here. This is the most exciting thing ever. And so it takes me 3 seconds to ask this person. In the meantime, I look forward and who is materialized in front of me is some random guy who has just walked up to the desk and basically cut the entire line by having walked in, bypassed the queue, and heard the person say, next. Which was supposed to be me.
They just cut the whole line?
They just cut the whole line.
And the guy let it happen?
The woman at the desk was, I think she was facing away from the queue. So she didn't realize that this wasn't just the next man in line. So I am now like around this like horseshoe on the opposite side of the desk or whatever. And he goes off to get his rental car after like 10 minutes of doing the fiddly bits and signing all the whatsevers. Mm-hmm. And the woman goes, next. And I walk up and she goes, line's back there, man. And I was like, no, I was just in the line. I don't know where that guy came from. And she's like, no, the line is over there, sir. Like, you need to go to the back of the line. You need to wait in line.
Are you serious?
And that's the thing. I was like, ma'am, I am so sorry. Like, I promise I was the next person in line. And I was like, I like pointed over to the people who were standing behind me in line. I was like, these two are visiting from Chicago. They have two kids at home. This is their first trip since they've had children. Their birthdays are both tomorrow. I know this about them. She is from Michigan. She is visiting. She just finished babysitting her older sister's three kids.
They'll come vouch for me.
I was like, I promise you. And I'm like looking at them and they're like literally like giving me like thumbs up. Like, you got through the line, man. Like, way to go.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. And I was like, did you think I was lying? And she was like, I don't know, man. Yeah, I did. And I was like,
the guy in front of me cut the whole line.
It was like,
and you didn't notice that one.
That's exactly what happened. Was he committed the foul, but she applied it to me because I stopped.
Because now you're like standing next to the desk.
Because I'm standing next to the desk. So she saw me in her peripheral vision
the whole time. She's like, this guy.
Can you believe this guy?
You believe this guy right here? Yeah. And I see what happened.
And it was all because I thought I saw Chris W. And it wasn't Chris W.
It wasn't
W.
even him.
I know. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So anyway, she gives me a car. All goes well. I go continue on my journey. Car works out beautifully. I return it. No problem.
Yeah.
But then I get home and it's 12:30 last night at the Roanoke Airport. And at this point in time, all I know is that the last time I spoke to the person on the Enterprise line, they told me that they were going to take care of the problem.
Right.
Turns out they were just completely not allowed to take care of the problem. So,
well, I had a feeling.
I walk out in the cold to my car to discover that it is still just sitting on its rim, still complete flat tire.
Right.
And you're like, dang it.
Right.
So then I have to walk back to the airport, go inside, call an Uber. But then what has happened is that because I was on a flight and because Roanoke is a small town and there's not that many Ubers, it takes me like 45 minutes to get an Uber.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it is the middle of the night. I am so tired. I've been traveling for so long in such a tight amount of time. Like, I just
want to go home and sleep.
I just want to go home.
Right.
And so finally I get picked up, whatever. So then this morning, Alice has to go out with me to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go to the airport, we go to the location where I rented the car from. And I go in and I explain what all's going on. And they're like, well, we can do a swap for you. But the problem is we can't go do anything to your car because it's in paid parking at the airport. You have to go and leave. You have to limp the vehicle somewhere else.
Right.
So I basically had to go and drive a car with a completely flat tire.
Yeah.
Like on the open roads to get to the rental car return parking lot, which is not that far away, but yeah, still, like, I couldn't go faster than 3 miles an hour on this thing. And so I'm like just chugging along like, and like the whole car is just shaking. Like,
oh no.
Yeah. So finally I get in and I can get the thing there, whatever. And I get a new vehicle swapped out and I'm like, you know, in new wheels at long last. But it was just like, the whole thing has been such a colossal headache.
It is such the way of airports and rental cars and travel and stuff. It's like, because if when you were checking in, it had just said you can't have two reservations at once, you very easily could have done the math of, well, I'll drive the rental car to the airport, drop it off, pick up my new reservation in LA.
Exactly.
Right. Like, it's just like, there you go.
Right. And so that's...
And then even if it was a flat tire, it didn't matter.
Right. Yes. I know. So that's like the PSA of it all is just basically you can't rent two cars from the same rental company at the same time. Even if they're on opposite ends of the country. So
such a weird problem.
It was a very weird problem. And it's just like the insult to injury is even just like having the rental car in the first place. Like we work in, you know, downtown Roanoke. So we've got like our parking lot that we pay for like monthly passes for, which are just these like exorbitant fees and everything. But we've set it up. It's set it and forget it type situation. We just have it for, you know, all the time and always. We can park with our vehicles downtown.
Boom. But
I set up the business account, which is separate from my personal account, which is like what I use. Like if I'm like anywhere else and I'm not parking in our business parking lot.
Right.
And so when I got the original rental car in the first place, the first thing I did was went and added the license plate information to my account. But I just, because I never pay attention to it, I didn't realize that my personal account wasn't the one that holds my monthly parking pass. So even though my account listed this as one of my active license plates, it wasn't on the one that holds the parking pass. So even since I've just had the other rental car, I've gotten a parking ticket for $80, you know, and it's just like,
even though you actually did pay for it,
even though I have an active monthly, very expensive subscription to park in this exact spot. And yeah, I emailed them about it and they were just like, sorry if you didn't update it. And I'm like, but I did
update it. Like, certainly you could cut me some slack.
It's like, you can see my screenshot. Like you can see, it's like, it was in the other email, you know, like they both have my last name in them. Like,
oh dude, this was the parking lot we park in, there's a parking lot. It's the same parking lot. It's just separated by like a wire.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the other half of it is owned by someone else,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I remember this was a while ago, but me and Beth, one time we came downtown and we parked in that lot. And there was a guy while we were there, like sitting there handing out tickets in the lot.
Yeah.
We like walk past him. We make eye contact. We say hi or whatever. He like watches us go and pay at the booth. The booth we pay at is actually for the lot next to us.
Oh,
we're in, because they were like very close to each other. We pay for it, we like walk by, we wave at the guy again, we're just sort of like, oh man, now we're going this way, past you once, now we're going this way, whatever. And then we come back and there's a ticket on the car, and like the guy is still in the lot doing this, and I'm like, you saw us pay. And he's like, that's not the right lot. And I'm like, but then why didn't you tell us?
Right, right.
You
know, like, yeah.
You saw us pay the wrong thing and you let us do that. I was so mad at that guy.
Oh my God.
I was like, you knew you were going to write a ticket. Like, why? Like, what? Like, you knew we made the mistake and didn't, like, ooh.
Right. Yeah. It's like, and that's like the situation where it's like, you think of parking tickets as them being like, this is just us like enforcing justice, not generating revenue. But then on the different end of the spectrum, it's sort of like the parking tickets generate revenue.
Right.
Quite a bit more than the parking itself costs.
Right.
So maybe, yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry about that.
Sucks. I still think about it. Like it can make me angry. If I was like an actor and it was like, I need you to like get real angry right now, I could think about that guy. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. what an episode. Well, y'all, thank you so much as always for tuning into this week. This week's edition of The Pop. As per always, if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay vs. Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Griffin Door. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.